Hello, everybody. Okay. I kind of have some prepared thoughts for this, and then we'll open it up to questions at the end. But as many of you know, yesterday afternoon, I was fired by Neil Symmatris, University President. This news was delivered to me by Jerry Koloski, the Interim Athletic Director. When we as people face difficult circumstances, we have a choice of how we're going to face them. We can either become bitter and go into despair and have a victim mentality, or we can choose to let the circumstances make us a better person and build character in us. My faith in God and His Son, Jesus Christ, is at the center of my life. I believe God is in control of all these circumstances that are going on right now. I believe that God grants people the opportunity to be in leadership positions and also takes those leadership positions away from them at times. I don't completely understand this. I don't know why it happens, but I believe it to be true. In the Bible, in Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose." I am thankful and appreciative of the opportunity I've had to be the head coach and do what I love to do at UNLV. When I took this job, I laid out goals that were very high for this program. I don't regret the high standard that I set. I came from a university community, the University of Utah, which I believe understands the commitment necessary in the area of finances, facilities, and community support to truly compete at the BCS level. I had high hopes and expectations to bring that level of program to UNLV. I do not for one second believe that I failed in this pursuit. I just wasn't given enough time or enough resources to do it. For those that really and truly know our program on the inside, our program has improved each year in the level of player recruited, the character, and the academic success of those players. I am proud of the legacy our coaching staff has left here at UNLV. With the 6 incoming gray shirts that are coming into this program this spring, with the 8 commitments, early commitments that we have and have at this point, along with filling the rest of the 11 scholarships out of 25 total that we had to give, this will be the best and fastest team in UNLV history. It will be the first time in many years to be at or close to 85 scholarships. 5 years was not enough time to build this program from where it was when we inherited it in 2005 in the areas of player ability, depth, player character, and academic success. By the way, we inherited an APR rate of 889, which is abysmal. Along with better players and better depth, I am proud of the following legacy: improved character of our players and firm discipline in the program, which led to few discipline or criminal issues of embarrassment to the university and the community. Improved academic standard of players in the football program. Our APR rate from the time I came till now went from 889 to 934. Anything below 925, there is a penalty for that. Our team grade point average has improved. I can give you the facts on that, but I just say that our grade point average improved. Graduation rate went from 36% to 60%, which is the 60% is above the graduation rate of regular students. I coach because I love the game of football, and more importantly, I love young people. Our staff and myself want the best for our players in the program as it continues. We have recruited these young men, mentored them, and tried to help them be good men. We care about them, and we care about the future of this program. In the last 20 years that UNLV has played close to or at BCS level competition, no football coach has left this program with a winning record, which includes a man, John Robinson, who is being inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in next month, in the month of December. In my opinion, this must be a systemic infrastructure and commitment issue and not a coach issue. One thing that I really ask those people that care about this program, people that are boosters, people in the community, people that quote unquote evaluate this program, I really ask you to look at this issue and face the reality of this issue, that this is not a coach issue. This is, like I said, it's a systemic infrastructure and commitment issue that I am concerned about, because I care about the players in the program and them going forward. That's very, very important to me and to our coaching staff. Myself and my staff are going to coach the San Diego State game with intensity and enthusiasm to send our seniors out with a win. This last game is not about me. It's not about our coaching staff. It's about the seniors, and that's how we're going to approach it. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be the head football coach at UNLV. This chapter of my life ends at the football banquet on Sunday after our game against San Diego State. I'm excited to see the next chapter of my life written. God has been faithful in the past, and I believe he will be faithful in the future. I look forward to continuing the relationships that I've built with the players, coaches in other sports here at UNLV, administrators, fans, and people in the Las Vegas community. For this, I very much appreciate, and I just really believe that I feel like this place is a better place as a result. This football program is a better football program as a result of my time here, and I'm looking forward to finishing it out on a positive note. I'm a football coach, and we're gonna coach the San Diego State game. I'd like to open it up to any questions that you have.
Mike, what could UNLV have done differently for you? What could they do differently for the next person?
I think just in general, I think a bigger commitment, greater commitment from the very top down, I'm saying from the Nevada system of higher education. No people questioning whether there's going to be football or not. I think that was that whole scenario was a big distraction to our players and recruiting. We had to fight more to quell problems in recruiting based on things that were said rather than actually recruiting players and selling them on the positives of our place. I think there needs to be support from the top level administration at UNLV to being successful in football. There needs to be money spent at the level that it's spent. In my opinion, they call it the Big Three in this conference, but really it's the Big Four. It's TCU, BYU, Utah, and Air Force. Those four programs are true, in my opinion, BCS programs. We are as far as facilities, as far as commitment. And I won't go into the statistics of it, but I know it. When you go around to these other places, you go around to, the kind of commitment that Wyoming has made facility-wise, the kind of commitment New Mexico has made facility-wise. Obviously, the commitment that a place like TCU and BYU has made, those things are huge. And I'm not going to sit here and complain about our situation. All I want to do is, I have an opportunity to say some things, hopefully, that'll make this program better. And I think people need to, if people really want to win here, okay, if they're going to hold the football coach and the football coaching staff here to a high standard, then to me, they need to put their money where their mouth is. And I don't believe that's ever been done here. I don't believe it was done one bit during the time I was here. And to me, that's what these players deserve.
Mike, were you ready to believe that the university would do that in your first 2 years?
I came here with the idea that that would happen, yes. And I'm not saying that anybody was dishonest with me. But at the same time, I will say that there are projects, there are things that were talked about that were going to be done, that still aren't done, and probably, the way I'm hearing, probably never going to be done. It was an academics, we're the only one in the conference, only school in the Mountain West Conference that doesn't have a student athlete academic center. And to me, that's huge in recruiting. You know, and there was a plan at one time, and we kept, you know, it kept getting delayed, that it was going to get done. But it's very needed, very necessary. And when you're competing in this, you know, and not only that, I'm not just talking about the nine schools in the Mountain West Conference. I'm talking about the universities that we recruit against, obviously in the Pac-10 and the WAC, you know, that kind of thing. You know, Boise State, Fresno State, Reno, you know, all those people. There's been more of a commitment made to football at Reno from a facility standpoint than there has at UNLV. I think it's not that people, I'm not saying that anybody was dishonest. What I'm saying is that there were plans that were out there to do things. Like, and another one is our locker room. Okay, our locker room is the worst locker room in college football. And I don't want to turn, once again, I don't want to turn this into a negative thing, because I want this to be I am not here to complain, but I'm answering your question. We finally, you know, we raised the money and we finally got approval to get the locker room fixed and improved and done, you know, to at least to a point that it's, you know, serviceable. It's not in the same class as a TCU or a BYU or a Air Force or a Utah. But it's at least going to be serviceable, and whoever the next coach is going to have an opportunity to recruit to that. We actually, there were things in recruiting that we just didn't show people, because in recruiting you want to show the things that are your positives. You don't want to show them your shortcomings and your setbacks. And so so to answer your question, just in general, I think it's a commitment. I think one of the things that's really important, the people that win, the people that are successful in college football nowadays, make their commitment before the winning, not as a result of the winning. TCU, if you go and see what they've done, okay, they made a commitment before they won. Utah made a commitment before they won, and they continue to make a commitment. You know, BYU made a commitment before they won. Air Force made a commitment before they won. So my point of saying that is that's what needs to happen. There's a mentality, I think, that, well, let's see if they win and then we'll jump on the bandwagon and help them. And that's not going to work. It hasn't worked, like I said, for 20 years. UNLV keeps changing coaches, and that's not the answer.
Coach, it seems like a lose-lose situation. I mean, for the next guy to come in, the commitment, I mean, it almost, hindsight's always 20/20. Would you have taken this job knowing what you know now?
Without a doubt. No question. I love this place. I love Las Vegas. I love UNLV. This has been a great opportunity. And I say that with 100% sincerity and conviction. I love this place. I've loved this job. I love this town. Have there been challenges? Yes. Has it been tough? Yes. Have I had a lot of moments of struggle and difficulty? Yes. But I would do it all over again without a question. Now, the one thing that I think the people need to understand, the people that have a chance to do something about this, they need to do something instead of continuing in the status quo, because the status quo has not worked.
Coach, what would you say is your fondest memory in the past 5 years, your biggest accomplishment? On the flip side, your biggest regret?
Well, first of all, just in general, my biggest, the best thing about this time here, I believe, is the players, and just the relationship of with the players and the guys that we've recruited, and gotten to know them, gotten to know their families, and That is by far, for me, the highest point. You know, there's people that do things for different reasons. I coach, and I love to coach. I love the game of football. I love the strategy of it. But I love the relationships that you have, and I love the opportunity that you have as a football coach to have a positive influence on young people. And that's by far and away my best memory and the best thing that I've loved about this. As far as regrets, I'm not a big regret guy. You know, I don't really, you know, that's, it's just not, I don't look back. You know, I'd rather not talk about anything negative. My best memories are about the players.
Knowing what you know then, Coach, what would you say to it? If you could talk one-to-one to a candidate, what would you say to that person?
I'd rather not answer that question, because I don't think that's a fair question. I'd rather not answer that question.
Mike, at this point, the decision came from the president, not PG.
Once again, I don't think that's something that I ought to answer. You know, the press release basically that was sent out yesterday said that it was a decision of both of them. And, you know, that's what was said. I'd rather not answer that question.
Coach, if you were able to burn the phone lines for your assistant coaches, what would you say to the guys on the other side?
Well, the first thing, I'd say is I think this is a great coaching staff. I think that we have guys on this coaching staff. I don't see how another coaching staff could be assembled like this coaching staff. I think from an experience standpoint, from a football knowledge standpoint, from a men of integrity standpoint, guys that care about young people and want to help them not only become a better football player, but become a better man. I think we have a great coaching staff. So that's what I would say. If somebody, talked to me about any of them, I would jump through the phone to recommend them.
Coach, you have a background in both college and pro. Where do you turn next for your next job? Where do you look to more?
That's kind of like what I said. It's the next chapter. I have no idea. Right now, I'm going to concentrate on beating San Diego State. And then that is going to come after that. And, I love coaching. I'm a football coach. As they say, I'm a ball coach. And I love what I do. And I look forward. You know, I've got a lot of energy. I've learned a ton in this job. I've learned a lot about a lot of things. And I feel like I have a lot to offer and a lot to give. And wherever it is and whatever level it's at, I'm excited about the next opportunity.
Mike, your first stint as obviously a head coach, you've been a part of this before. Just talk about, this is unfortunately part of the coaching business when, as Jerry said, it's performance-based and it doesn't work out.
Say that again.
Just talk about it. This is part of the coaching business. I mean, you and your assistants, unfortunately, when it doesn't work out, you have to move on to it.
Yeah, I think, that's one of the things that, we're big boys, and my assistant coaches are big boys. We understand this profession, and that's, when you sign up for this, that's part of what you sign up for. And, I just think that that's part of the reality of the coaching business and the coaching profession. It is a great profession. I love it. I wouldn't do anything else. But the reality is that it's a very insecure profession.
So were you mentally prepared for this to happen?
Mentally prepared. Let's see. I don't think anybody is ever mentally prepared for to get fired. I think it's been very, very difficult. I think it's been very, very tough. And that's probably one of the reasons why I was more comfortable with talking about it today than talking about it yesterday or last night. I just wasn't ready to talk about it at that point. And, you know, I don't think you can ever mentally prepare yourself for this. Now, you know, I wasn't an ostrich with my head in the sand either. You know, I mean, I know the reality of this profession.
Coach, do you think that the university is capable of putting its money where its mouth is, given its current financial picture?
To me, I think it goes way beyond the university. I think the programs that win, it comes from people in the community that care about the program, that want it to be successful. And I think it's a combination of things, and I think it's the university, and it's, aggressive, very enthusiastic fundraising. And then I think it's people in the community saying, yes, we want to be good in football. And also I think the important thing, there has been in the past, when you say, yes, we want to be good in football, yes, we want to be good in basketball, in today's world, it takes a lot to do it the right way, okay? And when you got to do it the right way nowadays, and so that doesn't involve doing anything that's against NCAA rules, and that's why it takes time to do it.
And then we follow that up. Do you think Las Vegas has the right community base to build this kind of college program, given what you know now about the city and the area and its people?
There is, without a question, I believe that. You know, I mean, if Boise can do it, you look at the Strip and all the money that's there and the resources that are there. If Boise State can do it, TCU can do it in Fort Worth, then UNLV can do it in Las Vegas.
Mike, when Jim Rogers made that comment about maybe dropping football, how many recruits do you think it cost you? How long did you have to battle that?
I don't know. I can't really say particular, Steve. Just the issue that happened was we had to do damage control rather than positive recruiting, if that makes any sense. And it's a lot easier. You're a lot more effective as a salesperson if you don't have to do damage control and you can sell the positives of your program. And I believe, and like I said in earlier in my prepared statement, this program is a better program now than it was when I took it over. I don't have any doubt about that. Now, people can argue that all they want, but if you look on the inside and you see where it was and where it is now, there is no question that's the case.
More questions?
Coach, your demeanor is kind of, it's not bitter, but it seems kind of like frustrated, very frustrated. Is that fair to say that that's kind of your demeanor? Not a bitter that you're fired, but frustrated that all the things that happened.
No, I wouldn't say that I'm frustrated at all. I am, here's my purpose in what I'm saying. My first thing is to be honest about what I've gone through, how much I appreciate this job, this opportunity that I had here, and it's about, I think I'm pretty darn positive about this, and I've been positive through a lot of adversity in the course of this job. So my other purpose in this is I just think it's important. I believe I would be selling our players short. I would not be doing what our coaching staff and I believe is right if I did not bring out the truth about where this program is and what it needs to do to be successful. And it's not changing coaches. Okay, and I'm a product of that, and I'm not bitter. I choose you have an opportunity, like I said earlier, you can choose to be be negative and bitter and be a victim, you know, I choose not to do that. I'm very thankful for this opportunity, but at the same time, I feel a duty and a responsibility to the young men that I recruited and their families, and I sat in their home, that are here in this program and will continue in this program. I feel a duty and responsibility, because I love them and care about them, to make sure that I let the truth be told about where this program is and what it needs to do to be successful.
As you leave, what's probably your greatest accomplishment? When you look at this thing and you came in here, it's a better program now than it was when you took over. You look at your best and greatest accomplishment.
I think it's the players that are in the program. You know, that's I think it boils down to that. I think it's the players, that the quality and the level and the depth of the players in the program, and the improvements in the talent, in the depth, in the speed, in the character, in the academic progress of our players in our program. That to me is, you know, I think it will speak for itself.
Okay, thanks everybody.
Thanks, Michael. Okay, thank you.